For the lack of a better word, I use the word holy passion. There is nothing great achieved in life without passion. Passion actually helps to produce energy within you to reach your goals and your ambition. Passion is the one that motivates even the scientists to bring about recoveries or discovery of new things. Passion is something that has caused the army to fight for the nation. Passion is something that brings about strength and energy into our body to reach out and do something that means a lot to you. Passion gets you going. But today I want you to look at some scriptures and just to ponder some of these words that God speaks through his servants. For instance, Mark chapter 12 from the NIV version, it says this: love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And I thought I used Eugene Peterson's Bible called The Message. In the same passage, he says this: the first important is, listen, Israel, the Lord your God is one, so love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer, intelligence and energy. Look at Romans 12. Paul wrote this: never be lacking in zeal, in other words, passion, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. The word keep is not an automatic word. It's not something out of coincidence that you do it. Keep is something has to do with your choice and your decision to actually keep your spiritual fervor, something that is of passion for the Lord. Look at another passage that Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 to 8. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. If you look at the portion of or the passages that we just read, somehow you know there is the element, the spirit or the emotion where passion is so much involved in the Word of God. In our culture today, it's okay to be passionate about anything except your religion, your faith, your relationship with God. I want you to imagine this. If I were to see and look at my favorite team and they score a goal, I would probably be doing like what Leonard did just now. I'll be jumping up and say, hey, praise God, it just scored. I remember the last World Cup when Germany beat Brazil badly, trashed them. I was sitting there and I was watching the game early in the morning, alone by myself, and I got excited. My wife makes sure the door is closed, the room door is closed, because I get so excited, I will shout loud. I said, yes! I don't care about the neighbor. I got so excited. I was passionate about my team that trashed Brazil at that time. I was a real fan. But if I were to jump around and have the concert, if you look around and you are so passionate about the singer that, and you love her or you loved him, and you will be jumping and you will be screaming and you will be waving your hand. Isn't it true? You will do that. But what if I will do the same thing in the body of Christ, in the church, and I'm so excited for Jesus, and I say, Lord, I love you, I love you. And people would think I'm a fanatic. I'm a crazy nut. Isn't it true? If you do the same thing in the church, people think you are a freak. But if you do that in a concert, it's okay. Strange, isn't it? It's very strange. Why? Because the world tells us that it's okay to be passionate for your favorite singer. But what about the church? Come on, church. What about you? Would you be passionate for Jesus? Would you be glorifying God every time when there's a word of God spoken or read from the Bible? Aren't you excited that the word is living, the word is active, the word is right there for you and for your life, for your future? The fire within me cannot be dormant. The fire within me must be expressed. I want people to know that I am passionate for Jesus. Amen. Aren't you? Praise the Lord. If you want to give a clap, please give a good one, by the way. You know, people said if you are suppressed with something you want to say out and you could not even express it, at the end you get very depressed. What causes this kind of problem, making the fire within us dormant? What causes it to be suppressed? Sometimes there are a lot of distractions in our lives. Sometimes it's due to uncertainties. Sometimes due to fear, due to shame, due to lack of faith that causes your energy to dissipate. I want to bring you today to understand the importance of this holy passion. What is holy passion? In all simplicity, in one sentence, holy passion fills the fires of inspiration and opens us up to opportunities and changes around us. I repeat, look at the slide. Holy passion fuels the fires of inspiration and opens up to all kinds of opportunities that God desires for you. And it changes around you as well. You see, holy passion is an expression of your enthusiasm and excitement for God. It's a kind of life that we all must have. Holy passion is not a weekend exercise. Are you there with me? Holy passion is not a weekend exercise. When the crowd is in hundreds and thousands, everybody loves the noise and they will just worship God. It's not a weekend exercise. Holy passion is a relentless pursuit after the kingdom of God. The Bible tells me in Psalms 42 verse 1, just like as the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants after you. I have a passage that I find is a great revelation why the people of God today need to have the holy passion. And we're going to see this passage from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 13, verse 14 to 20. Allow me to read to you, and I want you to hear God's word and let your faith begin to digest and understand the truth. Now, Elisha had been suffering from the illness from which he died. Jehoash, king of Israel, went down to see him and wept over him. My father, he cried, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. Elisha said, get a bow and some arrows. And he did so. Take the bow in your hands, he said to the king of Israel. When he had taken it, Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. And then he says, open the east window, he said, and he opened it. Shoot, Elisha said, and he shot. The Lord's arrow of victory, he shouted, the arrow of victory over Aram. Elisha declared, you will completely destroy the Arameans at Aphek. Then he said, take the arrows, and the king took them. Elisha told him, strike the ground. He struck it three times and he stopped. The man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck the ground five or six times. Then you will have defeated Aram and completely destroyed it. But now you will defeat it only three times. Elisha died and was buried. 2 Kings in chapter 13, verse 24 to 25. Hazael, king of Aram, died, and Ben-Hadad, his son, succeeded him as king. Then Jehoash, son of Jehoahaz, recaptured from Ben-Hadad, son of Hazael, the towns he had taken in battle from his father Jehoahaz. Three times Jehoash defeated him, and so he recovered the Israel town. It was a fulfillment of that prophetic egg. Brothers and sisters, listen attentively to this message that is going to change your life. Elisha said these words to Elijah at the end of the older prophet's days on his earth. He said the same thing. He says, my father, he cried, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And somehow in this particular passage in 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 12, that Elisha called out Elijah as my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. What he did was, just as Jehoash said the same thing to Elisha, is because they recognized the true strength of Israel. The strength of Israel was hinged onto the prophet like Elijah and Elisha. The nation was very much directed in terms of the victory over the enemy through the prophet's prophetic words and encouragement. This carnal, secular king, as we are told, that he too recognized the strength that of God in Elisha, the great prophet. Today, I'm asking you, do you recognize who that true strength of Israel in your life? Do you recognize that this living God is the true strength of your daily walk with him? Do you recognize who this great God who could do great and wonderful, miraculous, phenomenal act is your living God? Do you see him as your strength? Do you see him as your miracle? Do you see him as your inspiration? Do you see him as your true strength in your life? Or is he just another God in your mouth that you will only say, thank God? Who is he? Do you recognize God as the only real power to you? Do you see the power of resurrection through Jesus Christ? Jehoash, though he was a carnal secular king, he recognized that Elisha is capable of doing something even though he is still sick. But he was very concerned. He do not want to lose the privilege of receiving the true strength of Israel, because he saw Elisha was dissipating in his sickness. During that time, the day of grace in Israel was rapidly running out. Jehoash was desperate. Israel had been reduced to 50 horsemen and 10 chariots. Aram was just around the corner to fight against them. They were powerless against the Syrian army, which was now backed by or supported by the superpower called the Assyria. So Jehoash ran to Elisha seeking for a help. You see, many a time it is very easy to lose our passion under such depraved environment. It is very easy for us to lose our passion in the midst of many, many trials and difficulties. You may lose your passion because you never seem to get what you want Unfortunately, Elisha knew the condition of Israel was under such difficult time. And this is the moment for him to say to the king, Jehoash. He says this, take a bow and some arrows. Take a bow and some arrow. Jehoash, the Bible says he took the bow. And the Bible also said that Elisha instructed him, says, open the window, fling it open. And I want you to shoot the arrow right through according to the direction of where Aram is. And so the window was flung open. And he was holding the bow and the arrow. The Bible says Elisha's hand was upon his hand to tell him, Jehoash, God is going to give you the day of deliverance. And so he shot and he made the declaration, the Lord is giving the victory. We are so afraid to say words like this because we have no faith to believe that God can do it. We are afraid to say God is going to give you greater success. And we are so afraid to say, what if he doesn't? What if? What if? What if God doesn't change? What if God doesn't change the situation? What if God doesn't change my environment? What if God doesn't change my journey? What if God doesn't change my life? And we are so afraid. But Jehoash was told, say, the Lord is giving me the victory. And what he did was, he started well. He recognized the strength of God in Elisha. We all need to recognize who that strength is to you. God's strength is so important for us to recognize. And once you have recognized that, you must begin well. You must start well. I have a problem with people love to quote this phrase. And this phrase is very common to many of you. It's not how you start, it's how you finished. Have you heard that before? It's not how you start, it's how you finish. I choose to disagree. I choose to disagree. Yes, someone told me, but look at some of these great, mighty men of God. They started so well, but they did not finish well. Yes, my brothers and sisters, when you do not start right and you finish well, we call that the mercy of God. When you start right and you finish well, that is called the grace of God. But if you start well and you don't finish well, that is called disobedience to God. But if you look at the whole scenario, it is so important that we must all start right. William Culberson, former president of the Moody Bible Institute, said this, quote, it is important to start right, but it's imperative to end well. No matter what you do, we must all start right. If you want to pilot the plane, there is a button on the computer. If you press wrongly, that whole button will cause your destination detoured. Every pilot knows they need to press that button right at the beginning. If you press the button wrongly, your destination will be led to another place. Yes, it is so important today that passion also has the direction. He says, fling open the window and shoot towards that direction. The idea is very simple for us to understand. Passion do not allow you to do anything. Are you with me? Passion do not allow you to do anything. Oh, I want to do this. Oh, I want to. No. Holy passion has a specific direction. that as long as God has all the glory. Passion has a direction. You do not fling open the window and simply shoot. He says, fling open the window eastward, the Bible says. Eastward, a specific direction. Why? Because that is your victory. We need spiritual opportunity. Therefore, we must fling open the window towards the direction for opportunities. What happened then? Elisha said, take the arrows. Jehoash took them. Elisha told him, strike the ground. And he struck three times and stopped. Three times and stopped. It only shows me one thing. The king did not keep the passion going. You know what the Bible says? Elisha said, take the bow and some arrows. And when he took the arrow and he shot onto the ground, he only shot three times. And the Bible says Elisha was angry at him. Why? If there is only three arrows in the quiver, he can only shoot three times. I believe there are more arrows than three. Are you with me? There are more arrows than three. And all in the quiver, there could be five, there could be six. But he only took three and he shot onto the ground. The lack of passion limits God's grace for today's condition. What does it mean to you and to me in regards to this passage? It simply means this: do more than what is necessary. Are you with me? Do more than what is necessary. Jehoash did the prophet's bidding, but without much passion or fervor. We are called to do more than what is necessary. When I went to Bible school way back in 1985, spiritually, I was the youngest Bible school student in my class. The rest of my classmates were much older spiritually. They have attended Bible studies in their church. They have attended from Sunday school. Do you know Sunday schools are important? That you actually learn in order to mature. My wife was much more mature than I do because she grew from Sunday school. I only grew after sinning God for many years. And God had to put a slap on my face many times before I start growing. And I had to sit in the class where every time when there are questions, I don't even know what questions they were asking. Because I've never finished reading the Bible yet. I have not studied from Genesis to Revelation. And my classmates all did that. They attended their own church Bible studies. And I had to work doubly, triply hard. I have to read my Bible, making sure that I've not only finished the Bible, but I need to understand what I finished. Some people read the Bible, they don't even understand. They finish reading and say, hey, yes, I've done my part. If pastor asks me, have I finished reading? Yeah, I've done that. Yeah, there's a guilty one now here. He's laughing so loud. And I was just reading. I go to the library when everyone was sleeping after lunch. I went to the library. I had to study more. I work on it. You got to know me. I hate last minute thing. So in my class, I never liked last minute. When the lecturers gave us all the assignments that we need to do, I did it all beforehand and finished them. And I worked harder and harder and harder because I need to catch up. Do more than what is necessary. Zacchaeus knew that he has physical limitations. He was short. He was not able to get a visible sight of Jesus Christ because of the thick crowd and tall people around him. All he'd need to do is to run to a place where he can find a tree, a sycamore tree, and climb up in order to have the sight of Jesus. He did all he could Lord, to have the sight of Jesus. Listen, listen, you got to get this. You got to get this revelation. He did all he could to get a sight of Jesus. He made all the necessary sacrifice. Climb up, a short guy climbing up a sycamore tree. He probably a little bit plump. He probably have a little bit of difficulty in climbing. But he did all he could just to have the sight of Jesus. Some of us, we have all the privilege and convenience, but we didn't want to take time to have the sight of the great Almighty God. Look at the woman bled for 12 years. She fought her way through, losing blood for 12 solid years. Women, you will probably understand how weak she is, or she was at that time. She's so weak and feeble and very fragile. But yet at the same time, the Bible described to me that she will elbow her way through the thick crowd. She will push her way through the crowd and just to reach the garment of Jesus. That's the passion I'm talking about. The passion of going all the way to have Jesus in our lives, all the way to touch Jesus. But we make all our sacrifices for somebody's birthday. No matter how far, no matter how difficult, we can make it. We can. I'm not saying it's bad. Please don't get me wrong, but I'm making a comparison. What about Jesus? What about the one who died for you? What about the one who cried out for you? What about the one who desired to touch you? What about the one who came to save you? That's the holy passion I'm talking about. You know, opportunities are right there. Jesus' opportunities are all right there. But we need to keep digging, brothers and sisters. We cannot say, one, two, three. Nah, I can't find that pearl. Nah, I'm too tired. I don't think I want to do. You strike three times and you can't find it. And you say, I'm going to give up. Isn't it true? But the Bible tells me, keep digging, keep digging, keep digging, keep digging, keep digging. You know, brothers and sisters, can I say this? Sometimes in times of prayer, we always wait for the same person to pray. Do you have a passion to pray to the Almighty God? Then don't wait for somebody to pray. Just go ahead. If you have a passion to pray for the person you love and to see the person well, just pray. Don't wait for somebody else to pray. Where is the passion that we need to pray in the name of Jesus? Where is the passion for us to see that somebody get healed in Jesus' name? What about praying for sick ones, people who are now suffering? Wouldn't you want to pray? Or have you not been praying for many months? Passion. Passion fuels the fires of inspiration and opens up the opportunities. You got to keep digging, brothers and sisters. You got to keep digging. You cannot stop digging. You got to keep digging and break the ground. Dig. Oh, Pastor, the underneath is so hot. You got to keep digging. You got to keep digging. You got to keep digging. Don't stop until you find that pearl. Holy passion drives you right to the doorstep of opportunities. The holy passion inspires you to do the best out of the opportunities. When you begin to have the opportunity open to you, now you can take that and do with your utmost best. Holy passion also guides you to turn your opportunities into a reality. You know, that's where our problem is. People who have opportunities right in their hands, but they never turn the opportunities into a reality. Oh, wow, the opportunity is great. The opportunity is fantastic. I love it. I know what we can have. I know what we're going to have. I know what the result is going to be. What's the point of going on the result when nothing has been done? Turn the opportunities into a reality. I want you to know, opportunities are often found underneath a heavy rock. And there are times that you got to tediously and diligently, conscientiously push that rock. Sometimes you need somebody else to come alongside and push that rock. Why? Because the opportunity is right underneath. I cannot let it go. I must grab hold of the opportunity. I need to push. You know what PUSH stands for? Push until something happens. Push it. Do it until you see it happen. I'm not saying because the Bible just tells you. I tell you what, I lived with the Bible. And I have seen that happening in my own life. And I'm just speaking to you not from the word of God only, but with reality. Push it, push it, push it. When somebody says, oh, Pastor Kelvin, he's just started a church. He won't last long. Within 1 year, he's going to close down. Literally, they say that to me. How many of you know this coming August, I'm celebrating my 9th anniversary? Somebody say amen. Then when the first year was over, we celebrated with such a simple celebration. And the second year came, and the same people said, oh, the reason why he could go into a second year, because somebody supported him. How many of you know that I never get any support? My directors know. For 6 solid years, I never get 1 cent. I wouldn't say 1 cent, maybe a few dollars. People can say all that they want, but my passion is to see it go through. Push it, push it, push it. And you know what? I get to see people getting saved. Somebody say amen. I see people being transformed and changed. And not only that, I see people getting married too. Hallelujah. It's a joy. It's a joy when you start pushing. Something is going to happen. Don't stop there. Don't stop there. You know, passion is easily distracted by clinging on to our old ways. Oh, Pastor, this is the way I live. This is how I live. I've been going through for this problem for so many years. There's nothing is changing. You know why nothing is changing? Because that's the way we live with. We live with the ways that is not being changed. We don't want to be changed. We have so much pride, we don't want to be changed. No wonder nothing happens. Sometimes passion is distracted because we are looking at our past. Our past seems to dominate every thought. We are more interested in what happens to you rather than what God wants to do for you. The things that happen to me is far greater than the things that God wants to do for me. We oftentimes get so hammered down bludgeonously by the past. You know, one of the biggest problems that passion get distracted is called laziness. We get too lazy to do something that God already said he wants to do. You know what the Lord says in the gospel? He says, pound the door until the judge answers you. It's just like pound the door of heaven with all the opportunities until God answers and intervenes. Pound the door. Yes, I prayed. Some things doesn't seem to be answered yet. But do I get bitter with God? No. In fact, God stirs my heart with greater faith that I need to pound and pound and pound. Answers are not there yet, but I know answers are coming. Somebody say amen to me. Do you know there are some answers that you are going to have, but you are just not passionate enough to just get hold of it? You just saw the opportunities, but you don't want to turn down. But I'll tell you what, let your passion be so glued towards God first. Because all this success and achievement doesn't come from your strength. It comes from the Almighty God. He gave us that strength. Jehoash's action was affected by his little passion. You know very well, every momentum, every action is determined by our passion. The little action is done accordingly because of our little passion. But when there is an abundance of passion for the Lord, you and I will press on towards the highest calling that is in Jesus Christ. You will press on. You know, when I have so much pressure, I will press on. Somebody say, cannot be done. Let's do it. Because I hate when somebody says, cannot be done. You know why? Because I'm passionate that my God is a miracle-working God. He cares for us. With nothing, God gave us everything. This is the Creator. This is the living God. This is a God of who call himself the great I am. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He is your Jehovah Jireh. He is your God who cares for you, who protects you, who preserves you, who sustains you, and he provides for you. That is the kind of God that we worship. Didn't you see that? I pray that we will learn something out of Jehoash's problem. Jehoash had this little passion, and we wonder why. Why didn't he strike the ground more than 3 times? He got more arrows in the quiver anyway. Didn't you supposed to do that? If you said, Pastor, I've done that for 3 years, 4 years, hey, do it again. Do it again. Did I say that? Do it again. I don't care how long it takes. Do it again until it happens. Until it happens. How many of you agree what I'm talking about? Come on. Do you agree what I'm talking about? Give all the glory to him. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things that is lacking in Jehoash's life is this. Discipline. We all need good discipline in holy passion. He was given the instruction. Listen to this. This is something so, so important. He was told, strike the ground. And the Bible says he struck 3 times. You notice this. Elisha did not state the number of times. Am I right or not? Did you see that? He didn't say strike 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 6. No, he did not say. He said strike the ground. I can't help it when I look at that and then the Lord is just reminding me. The Lord says, go and make disciples. He didn't tell me how many. Hello? He says, go and make. Oh, Pastor, I'm too tired to deal with this guy. He says, go and make disciples. He didn't tell me how many times. He didn't tell me how. But I just got to keep doing it. Are you with me? I got to keep talking to my friends. I got to keep talking to my colleagues. I got to find opportunities that God is giving to me in my working place to talk to somebody that God loves me and he loves you too. Are you with me? We just got to keep doing it. You know, the Bible also tells me that Jesus' words were so clear. He says in Mark 12:30, we just read, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. This is what Eugene Peterson said. He used the word passion, which I mentioned to you earlier. He says, love the Lord your God with all your passion. And the word passion was very much replaced in his Bible from the word heart. So what God is saying is this. God is saying through Eugene Peterson's understanding of that word is that God wants you to put some muscles into it. Put some energy, put some emotion into your relationship with God. You know, how could ever somebody say, I love Jesus without any emotion? Husband and wife, did you ever love your wife without emotion? Did you? Did you ever say, I love you? What? If I'm a girl, I say, I'll slap you. What is this? I love you. They have all sorts of ways of expressing their love. Am I right or not? They will just kneel down with one knee and propose, you know, I love you, I can't live without you. That's all that they could say. After getting married, I'm not too sure. So many promises are all broken, isn't it? I love you with no emotion. That would be weird. But Eugene Peterson is trying to say this. When you love the Lord with all your passion, you put your energy, you put muscles into it, you put energy into it, you put emotion into it. Isn't it right? So we need to do that. We need to have this kind of disciplines. That's why people thought, you know, marriage is all about love and that little Cupid, you know, naked baby, chubby baby flying around and with the arrow going around. Ding! And it only aims at the backside and nothing else. Ding! Ah, I'm in love. Oh, that's all fairy tales, isn't it? There is nowhere in the book of Genesis or Revelation did I see a chubby naked baby flying around with a bow and arrow. I don't see that. And many a time, we in our love relationship, there is not much of a passion. How many of you know that this also apply in our marriage too? Loving your spouse with passion that keeps and sustain the strength of the marriage. It's not about just a love thing, but there's also so much of commitment and faithfulness involved in marriage. And that's exactly the same. When you have passion for the Lord, there is a need for faithfulness. There is a need for commitment. We need disciplines to persist, to advance, and to become effective in our Christian walk. We all need discipline. And as a matter of fact, this is what somebody said. Discipline is what modern believers need the most, but want the least. Isn't it true? We do not want to have the disciplined life. We just want to have come what may, care, Sarah. That's all rubbish. Oh, I feel like I want to do this thing today. Oh, I feel I want to go out and have some time for myself. Oh, there's so little discipline and planning for our own selves and our families. Disciplines bring stability, my brother and my sister. Someone said, and I quote, talent without discipline is like an octopus on roller skates. There's plenty of movement, but you never know if it's going forward, backward, or sideways. Isn't it true? When you don't have discipline, you are just flying everywhere, moving everywhere, a lot of movements, but no directions. A novice once asked the great Michelangelo how he sculptured such beautiful statues. Pointing to an angel that he had just chiseled out of the marble, he said, I saw the angel in the marble. I chiseled until I set it free. And I thought that was such a profound explanation in view of what God is doing. God is also chiseling our lives until the image of Christ is clearly seen by others. The advantage that a man with a disciplined life is this. It's not only that he has seen the greater holiness and spirituality, But the man with disciplined life also could see the greater efficiency and effectiveness in everything that he does for the Lord. When you have disciplines, efficiency will be produced in your work, in the working place, in your schools. You will begin to see those kind of demonstration of sacrifices that you made, and you never could imagine that that could be done. But when discipline began to take place, you will achieve a greater goal, not just any goals. Brothers and sisters, some people say, can you please give me an understanding of what it means to be a disciplined person? Well, I have something for you, very practical, but it has such a profound indication of the possibility of what you can become. A disciplined person picks up his clothes. The undisciplined one lets them lie around. Simple as it is, isn't it? They come back, they take out their shoes, and they just leave it and go. And then the poor spouse, whoever, got to put it in and put it inside the cupboard. Disciplined person do not leave things around. They pick up things. Isn't it true? They keep places around in order. Disciplined person wipes the bathroom sink after he uses. The other person leaves it dirty for someone else to clean. Everybody's so quiet. Somebody is guilty. I do not know who, but you should know better. And you've thought, Pastor, come on, that sometimes you're so tired. We can give a lot of excuses for our situation. But when you are passionate for the family, you do anything and everything possible in your hands for the glory of God. Are you with me? Don't give me all these excuses. It only speaks a lot of who you are. But if you know that you are passionate for your children, for your family, for your grandchildren, for your loved ones, or whoever stays with you in the house, you do it for the glory of God. Discipline includes the subordination of the body's physical appetites to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We discipline our life so that our entire being is subject to his lordship. Are you with me? Can I repeat that? Discipline is about our lives subjecting to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Our whole entire being, even our physical body. Look at this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. Paul wrote it, and this is the translation from the Living Bible. Listen to it. Paul said, like an athlete, I punish my body, treating it roughly, treating it to do what it should and not what it wants to. Are you there? Training it to do what it should and not what it wants to. Otherwise, I fear that after enlisting others for the race, I myself might be declared unfit and ordered to stand aside. Brothers and sisters, Paul said very clearly, discipline is very much described and depicted in the picture of an athlete. Many of you who play sports, you can never be or never have the ability to reach another level if we do not train ourselves harder. Are you there? If you train yourself at a certain level, that's where you will be. But if you're willing to reach another higher level, there is a need to train even harder. We need to train harder. I've learned to carry some weights. I'm not one person who carry heavy loads. I can't. Too old for that. But I can try from the certain weight. I will try to push myself to another level. And I'm still doing it. Bench press, I used to carry 60 and I find it so difficult. But then I went on to 70 to push at least about 50 times, not consecutively. Then after that, I tell myself, I'm going to, you know, Brian is challenging me that he could even push 90. And I felt, wow, the Father can't even push. My pride starts to eat me up. And I said, I got to push even more. So I tried. And then suddenly one day my eldest boy came and he took the dumbbell and he put in 70 straight away. And then he went on to 80. And then when he went on to 90, of course not now, he can't even push anymore. Now he got to push his stomach. He tried to push. At that time he was pushing 90. He could do it. My, I said, my children could do it. I can't. So I just walked away. Now I came back. It's just next door to my house anyway. So when they were not around, I went there and I said, man, I was just thinking, Brian can do that. He came in, he came after work. He looked at me. Oh, only 70? Oh, only 70. This is a bit too much. He used the word only. It took me so much time to push that. He says, only. That word only was eating me up that moment. Only. I hate that word only. And so I pushed. I pushed to 80. I went forward to 80. And one day I said, oh, I'm going to try 90. Nobody was there to support me. And I thought to myself, ah, I missed it. Never mind. Next week I'm going to do that again. Again I fail. Then the third week I did. I pushed once. Up 90. Phew. So happy. After that, I decided not to anymore. But what I'm saying is this. When I want to get into another level, I just got to keep pushing. Am I right or not? I need to go for another level in order to make sure that the word only doesn't exist in Brian's mouth anymore. Only. But this is exactly what discipline is. It's like an athlete. You want to get further, you got to push harder. Isn't it true? We learned that. But Jehoash did not. He has a problem. He knew, like all of us, he knew who his strength was. He knew. You all knew. You knew who God is. The only problem is that it's only in our mouth. We only speak out, thank God, but we don't walk with that. We knew. And so Jehoash thought, since I know, and this is what Elisha said, this is my privilege, I'm not going to disobey him. He tells me to shoot, I shoot. He tells me to open the window, I open the window. He started well. He started well. Many of us started well. Some people who backslide, they started well. Somewhere along the line, they disobeyed. And then they start to miss the opportunity. When you start to break away from where you start, you miss your opportunity. Because opportunities are linked onto where you start. Are you with me? It's linked on to where you start. And Jehoash missed the opportunity simply because he lacked discipline. So, brothers and sisters, holy passion is something that you and I need to have to recognize the true strength of Israel. You need to start well. Do more than what is necessary. Don't just do because you were told to do this amount. Do more. Do more. That's how great men succeed. That's how great businessmen succeed. They don't do what they were called to do. They do more than what they were called to do. Great students do not achieve according to the books that they were given to read. They do more than that one book itself. They read other books. I know Credence ever since he came 4 years ago. You know, how many of you know? Most of you probably may not know Credence as well as I do. Wow, what a privilege, isn't it? This man, he may be in his 40s, but there is a vision and a goal for him to be an engineer. He works towards it. It was hard. I heard the early stories. The father would tell me when he first came and he worked so hard. in fact, he doesn't even have good understanding of mathematics, but he works so hard. Today, he can do his physics. He can do much more. And somebody was telling me in his room, he stick everything on the wall. He worked hard with all his facts. He reads and he puts all his facts and points. You're a classic example. You're an awesome guy. You did well, brother. Keep it up. You know why? You did more than what is necessary. You did more. And you developed the discipline. But don't stop there. Don't stop there. Because your future is so bright ahead of you. So much more. You just got to keep digging. You got to keep pushing until the higher goal is achieved. I believe that for you, brother. And I say it prophetically. You got to push it. You're going to achieve it. I believe that. All these things culminates towards holy passion. Because there's a great need for pursuit for the ultimate altar of the divine promises that we have been talking about. It will happen to us. But the question we all need to answer, how many strikes are you going to make on that ground? How many strikes? Are you going to keep shooting on the ground or are you going to shoot three times and give up? How many arrows do you have in your quiver? When the Elisha said, take your bow and some arrows. Just like the widow that Elisha told her, what do you have? I only have a little oil. Now go to your neighbors and take as many vases or jugs that you can have. So she went to her neighbors and started looking for vases and jugs and bring it into the room. The Bible says the moment she had all that she had, she closed the door and she started pouring in the oil into the vase. And one after another, once it's filled to the brim, it filled up to another and it poured into another and filled up to the brim and pour. The Bible says she will pour until everything is done and the oil stops. How many of you know if you stop digging, then the anointing stops? If you stop pushing, then the anointing stops. Children, if you want to succeed in your education, you got to study more than what you have. You got to do more than what you have. You cannot say, I am happy with my marks. Hey, if you have 70, you go for 75. You got 75, you go for 80. You got 85, 80, you go for 85. Brothers and sisters, you go for the best. The best is not reserved for the big church. The best is reserved for every believer of God. Amen. Are you there? If you believe me, give a wonderful clap offering to the Lord. Can I close this with this question? How many strides are you going to make onto the ground? How many strides? Some of you say, Pastor, I don't have so many arrows in my quiver. Just like the widow of Obadiah, I've only that little oil. Go. Go and find for containers. Go and find. Don't stop there. Go and find. Your opportunities are there. Grab it. Go and find. But Pastor, it's difficult because it's underneath this big rock. Get some people, get a few people, push it together and say, my opportunities are right there. I'm going to push it. You can't push it yourself. Get everybody to come along with you. That's what the body of Christ is for, isn't it true? Push it together. Then you get your opportunities. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.